aren't you grateful that no matter what you're going through in life, you can rest in Him? Such a blessing. You can rest. I told the teenagers this morning, sometimes it's not an easy thing. We're going to be in Galatians, by the way, Galatians chapter 5. It's not an easy thing to go through trials. And there is no promise in Scripture, not one single promise in Scripture, that you're going to understand every trial you go through. There's not one promise. There's not one promise in Scripture that when you go through a hardship, you go through a loss, that if you give it time, you'll understand the good that God meant for you. There are many things in this life that you go through that try your faith, test your faith, that it could be 20, 30 years later and you have no idea still to that day why you went through what you went through. But you can rest in the knowledge that He worketh all things for our good in His glory. And sometimes, that has to be enough. I told the teenagers this morning, most of you know about my father. My dad passed away when I was 16. Grew up in church. Loved church. Surrendered to ministry when I was a young person. Dad died week after I turned 16, 3 days before I'm supposed to go on a mission trip. And in life, I've tried oftentimes, because it's been 22 years now, and I have tried multiple times in 22 years to justify why that had to happen to my family. 22 years later, I can't tell you why. I can't tell you why God saw fit that our family no longer needed my earthly father, that I, as a young man, didn't need the guidance of my earthly father, and that my brother, who was only 3 years old, didn't need to know his earthly father. I can't explain any of that. 22 years later, I can't tell you. Now, I went through my years of bitterness, because even the best of Christians go through times of hardship and their faith being tested. But what I can tell you 22 years later is I have come to the place where I have to rest in the fact that I may not understand how it works for my good and His glory, but I just trust that it does. And I can tell you that what I have seen, and what I have gone through, I can look back and see God's guiding hand. I can see His sovereignty. I can see His providence. And while in my mind it would still be nice to be able to call Dad and to celebrate the birth of his grandchildren, and to celebrate their salvations and to celebrate their baptisms, for him to be here with Mom cheering on, for him to be here when I first came here to pastor, boy, it'd be great. It'd be awesome. And in my mind, that would be nice. But His ways are not my ways. His ways are better. And even though there are days of doubt, when I come to Scripture and I rest on Him, there's nothing but peace to know. I may not understand, but I do trust my God. Galatians chapter 5, that has absolutely nothing to do with the message that's prepared this morning, but it just felt necessary. It felt important. As our church grows, I'm very excited to celebrate some of the things that we're going to talk about tonight. Salvations, even in the past week, new families. As a pastor, church growth is a positive thing, but there's more families to care for. Man, sometimes I just look out and I see your faithfulness, knowing what you're going through. And all I can do, because I want to fix it. And all I can do is pray and be there. and trust and remind you, God's in control. He's in control. The theme of the year is liberated. And I realized this morning, as soon as the service started, I don't have sermon PowerPoint. I have the introduction. I got that far. Amen. But this theme is one that I think is probably the most undervalued theme in most of Scripture with regard to what He has done for us. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, let's read the passage, we'll look at it, and then we're going to jump into the message, and then we'll go and ask God to work through His Word. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning so grateful. So grateful for the death, burial, and resurrection of Your only begotten Son. Grateful for the love that You exemplified for us through Him. Grateful for the sacrifice and the humility that Your Son did not have to go through, nor did He deserve. And yet He did that for us anyway. Lord, I stand before You this morning grateful for the opportunity to even know You and then to have the promise of the freedom to grow closer to You. And Lord, even though in moments of doubt and in lacking of faith and going through trials and hardships, in my own personal life, at times wishing that I had my earthly father to lean upon and to call for guidance and counsel, or just to talk to, Lord, I am overwhelmed with gratitude that I have a heavenly Father. A heavenly Father that I can come to at any time with any burden, with any news, with any rejoicing. And that You're there, willing and waiting. You, the God of eternity. I don't deserve to step foot in Your presence. I don't deserve to be able to whisper Your name, and yet You've given us Your only begotten Son. Lord, and I'm grateful. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to serve in ministry. I'm grateful that You have called me to pastor, to train and to equip, to love and to care for a group of people who deserve better than me. I'm grateful that You've seen fit to use me, and I pray that I would do Your will in a way that is pleasing to You. Lord, I do not bring before Your church a theme lightly. I do not bring before them a vision for our church and a spiritual understanding of focus for the year. I do not do that lightly, Lord, but I do it with a heavy heart to communicate properly. And Lord, as we look to Your Scripture to study about the redemption and the liberation that You have offered us spiritually, my heart is burdened for a community that we're surrounded by that are still in bondage, lost in chains of sin. Christians that have re-entangled themselves in the bondage of the law and legalism to try to maintain works for salvation that You never intended for us to do. And Lord, I just pray that this morning Your Word would have free course to effect change where I fail to communicate well. Lord, I pray that You would help us as a church family to look to Your Scripture, trust in Your Word, and to have faith in Your sovereignty. In Christ's name we pray all these things. Amen and amen. For context, which should not be a shocker for any of us that we need context, amen, we need to go back to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians is certainly a correction book. It's a book of correction for believers that have been bewitched into falling back under the law. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, if you will, please, this morning. I marvel. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. The severity of preaching a false gospel is seen in the statement of verse number 8 of Galatians chapter 1. Let him be accursed. If you're taking notes this morning, and while I don't have the PowerPoint for you for this morning, Lord willing, I will have tonight's because of the depth and the nature of what we're going to be doing tonight. I do want to give you some points to understand what we have been liberated from. And if you're taking notes this morning, point number one, I want you to recognize that you were liberated from a curse. You were liberated from a curse. Now, in Deuteronomy, and if you will, you can write this passage down, and it'll Deuteronomy chapter 21, and go back to study it for sake of time. I will read it to you. If you'd like to follow along, it'll be on the screen. But Deuteronomy chapter 21, and if you'll jump and look at verse 22. In Deuteronomy 21 and verse 22, the Bible tells us, "And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance." Now we looked at this verse for a particular reason. We saw in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8 the severity of a false gospel, that the one who would preach, whether it Paul and those that followed him preach another gospel, or an angel from heaven preach another gospel, the Bible says, let him be accursed. Deuteronomy chapter 21, we see the first time the word accursed is used in the Bible. And it's associated with one who is hanging upon a tree. One who has committed a sin that is punishable by death. And if he be hanged on a tree, he should be buried that day. Because any man that hangs on the tree, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 21 and verse 23, he that is hanged is accursed of God. Now if you will, look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 13. I do find it interesting. I think it of importance that we see the first time this word accursed is used in the Bible. It's associated with a man that commits a sin worthy to death. It's this curse that Galatians chapter 3 goes on to reference. Look at chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the what? Curse of the what? Now, let's stop here for just a moment. We're going to get somewhere with this. Lord willing, we have time. The curse in Galatians is not simply sin. The curse is the law. Sin is that which we're in bondage to. But the law was our schoolmaster to show us what sin is. The law is the curse. Now let's finish the verse. being made a what? Curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Well, we just read that in Deuteronomy. That's a direct quote of Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23. It's a cross-reference to help us to understand. Now, when we recognize the context of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, obviously it's Christ that hung upon the tree. It is Christ who took on the curse of the law for us. Deuteronomy 21 says that the one that has hanged upon the tree is one that committeth a sin worthy unto death. But Jesus committed no sins worthy unto death. No, He took upon Himself the curse of the whole world. He took upon Himself the sins of you and of me. He took upon Himself the curse of the law, and He took that curse upon Himself, He who knew no sin, so that, verse 13 of Galatians 3, He could redeem us from the curse of the law. That's what Jesus did for you. Now, being accursed by God is no small matter. And yet we see that the Galatians are being taught by another gospel, which is not another. What is or what was the accursed message that they were being led astray by? Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. If we recognize that the curse, that the law was a curse, and Jesus took that on Himself to complete it. He didn't do away with the law, He finished the law. Now, I'm going to say that again for us to understand. He didn't come to do away with the law, He came to complete the law. Because no man can complete the law. No man can live up to the standard of God's law. No man can follow through with every detail of the law. We're not even talking about the Pharisaical traditions of man that were added to the law that Jesus reprimanded the religious leaders of their day for. He told them that they've made the law of none effect by their traditions. We're talking about the law that God gave to Moses was a curse because it pointed out that the best of righteousness we have to offer is filthy rags. And He took that upon Himself and fulfilled it. He finished it. So what then is the liberty dealing with? It is a redemption, a liberation of the curse of the law. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we had in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Paul points the reader to these false brethren that came to spy out the liberty that Paul and Titus and the Gentile church had, which they had in Jesus Christ. And notice the end of verse 4 in Galatians chapter 2. He tells us exactly the understanding as to why they came to seek out that liberty and to spy it out. Notice what he says at the end of verse 4, that they might bring us into what? Bondage. Let's look at Acts chapter 15 now. Because Paul is referencing the events of Acts. He is referencing the history of the events of Acts, and more specifically with the issue of circumcision in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, we're going to be at verse 1. These portions of Galatians, they point to Acts 15 for the account of what Paul is describing. And we're getting somewhere with this. I hope that it's being communicated well for us to get it, to see what we're talking about. When we talk about what we're liberated from, oftentimes we look at the liberty that we've been given and say, yeah, praise God, I've been liberated from sin. Yes, you have, but the liberty is more than just a liberation from sin, death, hell, and the grave. And what we see in the book of Galatians, we're liberated from a curse, not simply the curse of sin, but the curse of the law. And that's important. That's important. Now we'll see why in Acts chapter 15. Verse 1. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be what? Well, now that's another gospel. That's a works-based salvation. Oh, yes, you're a church and you've got the Apostle Paul, but unless you follow after the law of Moses, unless you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem and to the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. This is the account that Paul is reminding the church of Galatia of. Acts chapter 15. These Pharisees that believed wanted the Gentile believers to be in subjection to the law of Moses as they were. And in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, references this account as those that would spy out the liberty that we had and for the purpose of bringing them into bondage. The bondage of what? Sin? No, the bondage of the law. False teachers were trying to convince the Antiochian believers that they still needed to keep the law in order to be saved. Now, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. The Bible teaches that this is a cursed gospel. This is a cursed gospel. Any other gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, by just way of mentioning, we recognize that as being the gospel clearly defined for the Gentile believer. And any believer, Gentile and Jew alike, in this day and age, what is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection. The death, burial, that He died for our sins according to the what? Scriptures. And that He was buried and He rose again on the third day according to the what? Scriptures. That's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. It's important that we recognize that there are those that would bring a cursed gospel into our midst as a society within Christianity that have the desire to bring us into bondage to live up to the standards that God took care of the day that His Son died. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the what? Curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by what? Faith. So we have been liberated from the curse of sin. Well, yes, sin is a curse, but it is a curse that we're born with. It is the law that keeps us bound. And the Bible says that anyone who tries to keep themselves under the law are under a curse. You cannot live up to the standards of the law. It's a curse. And then it goes on to teach us what we just read. No man is justified by the law. Even if a man could live and keep the law of God perfectly, his entire life, it does not justify you. The Bible says the just shall live by what? Faith. Faith is the liberating foundation. Faith is the key to your removal from being under the curse of the law and being placed into the family of God. That leads us to point number two. Very quickly, I want us to see this. Point number two, we're liberated from a curse and we're liberated to a family. Look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Christ tells us that He redeemed us, purchased us back, purchased us that which was rightfully His, that was taken and bound. And God formed His Son under the law so that you could receive the adoption of sons and be a part of His family. Christ tells us He redeemed us to give us liberty to be adopted by the Father. I don't know that I even fully grasp the idea or the concept of the love of God in such a gift. The world and the law and sin, that was our bondage. That was our inheritance. That was that which was our testimony. Jesus entered in because God desired to liberate you so you could be one of His. That's what we're liberated to. We're liberated from a curse to a family. Tonight, we're going to take time to look at this phrase, Abba, Father. And hopefully, we'll be challenged with an understanding of the opportunity that we were given because of the liberation from the curse. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 teaches us, because ye are sons. You know, what does adoption matter if we're adopted to His family? What benefits us? Because that's how we think, isn't it? We're very much flesh. How does this benefit me to be a part of the family of God? Oh, you get to go to heaven. Okay, I get to go to heaven. But what does that do for me now? Do you realize it's that false gospel of prosperity messaging that many people have fallen prey to because they're looking for how God benefits them now? And false teachers will get up and say, well, if you give us X amount of dollars, God will return that tenfold. That's not taught in Scripture. Or if you serve God, then you'll have a big bank account. That's not taught in Scripture. Actually, we've mentioned over and over again, Paul promised Timothy, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Every promise in the book is mine. Amen. If I want to live for Christ, I'm going to have to endure some suffering. But can I tell you something? It's worth it. I reckon the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in Him. So what benefit do we hold to? What promise do we leave with this morning in understanding that we're liberated from a curse and to a family. Galatians 4:6. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Do you want to know what the liberation to a family means? To God's family means? You now have access to God the Father. An access that was lost because of sin, an access that was lost because of the fall, an access that was robbed from us because of the sins of one man and death passed upon all for all have sinned. But Jesus came to liberate us from the curse of the law. He came to liberate us from the sin that so easily binds us, so that you and I have the Spirit of His Son within us, and that wherever you're at, you can cry out, Father, I need you. Father, I need help. That's what you're liberated to. Every head bowed and every eye closed.